Welcome in. Today we're doing a very specific drum and bass skill that levels up your mixes fast. Using a Hoover as support without letting it bully your sub, your kick, or that all-important snare, because Hoovers are addictive. They're wide, they're aggressive, they move, and the second you bring one in you're like, yep, that's the vibe. And then you hit play and your drop suddenly feels loud but not punchy. That's the trap. So in this lesson, you're building a clean two-layer bass system in Ableton Live using only stock devices. Layer A is a stable mono sub that owns the low end. Layer B is a controlled Hoover mid layer that adds character and excitement above the sub, then politely ducks out of the way when the drums hit. Let's set up the session first. Set your tempo to 174 BPM. Anywhere around 170 to 176 is totally normal for DNB, but 174 is a great reference point. Now get a basic drum loop going. It can be a loop, a drum rack, whatever you've got. But make sure you have a solid kick and snare. In drum and bass, your snare is basically the spine of the drop, so we're going to protect it. Now create two MIDI tracks. Name one SUB, name the other Hoover MID. That separation is the whole game. If the Hoover and sub live on the same track, you'll fight your mix forever. If they're separate, you can make each layer do one job really well. Cool. Let's build the sub. On the SUB track, load operator. Oscillator A, set it to a sine wave. Keep it simple. You're not trying to impress anyone with a sub sound design. You're trying to make the low end stable, consistent, and easy to mix. Now create a MIDI clip. Let's say you're in a minor for the example. Put your main note around A1 or A0 depending on your system and where you like your subs to live. Make a rolling rhythm. Here's a simple one bar idea in eighth notes. Play A, then a rest, then A, then a rest, then A, then G, then A. It's that classic rolling feel without getting fancy. After operator, at EQ8, put a low pass on it around 120 to 180 Hz. The goal is, this track is sub, not bass in general. If you want it super clean, use a steeper slope like 24 dB per octave. Then add utility and set width to 0%. Hard mono. No debate. This is your foundation. Keep the gain conservative for now. You'll balance later. Quick mindset check. The sub should feel solid even if the Hoover is muted. If you mute everything except drums and sub, it should still sound like drum and bass. Now the fun part, the Hoover, but designed to support. Go to Hoover MID and load Waveeatable. For oscillator 1, pick a saw-based Waveeatable. Basic saw is perfect. Turn on unison. Use the classic style, voices around 4 to 7, and the unison amount somewhere like 60 to 80%. Already you'll hear that wide, swarmy Hoover vibe. Oscillator 2 can be another saw, or a slightly different Waveeatable. Detune it a bit differently than OSC 1 so it doesn't just stack the same tone. We want width and movement, but we're going to control it. Go to the filter. Choose an LP24, a 24 dB low pass. Start the cutoff somewhere around 300 to 800 Hz. If you're new, just start around 500 and we'll adjust by ear. Add a little drive if it feels too polite, like 2 to 6. Now set the amp envelope. Attack basically instant, maybe 0 to 10 milliseconds. Decay around 200 to 500 milliseconds. Sustain somewhere in the middle, like 0.4 to 0.7. Release 80 to 150 milliseconds. And here's a big beginner win. A supporting Hoover does not need to be full range. We don't want it taking the entire spectrum. We want it mid-focused, like it's paying rent in the mids while the sub owns the basement. Now we build the device chain that makes it behave. This chain is a huge part of the sound. First on the Hoover, EQ8. Step 1 is removing the Hoover's low end. Put a high pass filter at about 150 to 250 Hz. Start at 180 Hz and adjust. Use a steep slope, like 24 dB per octave, because we're not shaping low end here. We're removing it so it can't fight the sub. Now do some carving if needed. If your snare loses body when the Hoover plays, the conflict is often around 180 to 300 Hz, so you can do a small dip there on the Hoover. If your snare crack or snap gets blurry, check around 1 to 3k Hz. A gentle dip there can instantly reveal the snare again. And if the Hoover is fizzy or harsh, you can gently dip around 6 to 10k Hz. Here's a fast masking check you can do like a pro, even as a beginner. Temporarily make an EQ8 bell and boost it by about 6 dB, then sweep it around while the drums play. When the snare suddenly feels worse, you found the conflict zone. Then undo the boost and do a small cut there instead. The goal is not to make the Hoover pretty soloed. The goal is to make the full mix hit harder. After EQ8, add saturator. Set it to analog clip as a good starting mode. Drive around 2 to 6 dB. Then turn the output down so it's the same loudness as before. That is important. If you don't level match, you'll always think more drive sounds better just because it's louder. Saturation helps the Hoover read in the mix at a lower fader level because it adds harmonics and density. That means you can keep it quiet but still feel it. Next, add glue compressor or regular compressor for peak control. Let's use glue compressor here. Attack around 10 milliseconds, release on auto ratio mode 2 to 1. Lower the threshold until you see about 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on louder moments. Optional but nice. Turn soft clip on. This helps keep the Hoover from randomly jumping out when notes stack or when the unison gets excited. Now the essential part for drum and bass, sidechain ducking. Add a regular compressor after the glue. Turn on sidechain. Set the audio input to your drum bus, or if you don't have a drum bus, route it from wherever your kick and snare live. In DNB, sidechaining to the snare is not optional if your bass layer is mid-heavy. The snare needs space. Set ratio to 4 to 1. Attack really fast, like 1 to 3 milliseconds. Release around 80 to 150 milliseconds. And now set the threshold so you're getting about 3 to 6 dB of ducking when the kick and snare hit. Listen for the rhythm of the duck. You want it to go duck, breathe, return. If the Hoover feels like it gets sucked down for too long and the bar loses energy, your release is too long. If the snare still feels covered, sometimes your release is too short and the Hoover is returning too early, right on top of the snare tail. Adjust until it feels like the Hoover is dancing around the drums, not competing with them. Last in the chain, utility for stereo discipline. Hoovers are naturally wide, which is awesome, but wide low mids can smear your drop and ruin mono compatibility. So use utility width somewhere around 60 to 110%. As a safe starting point, try about 90%. That might sound like you're making it narrower, and yes you are, but it usually makes the whole drop feel bigger because the center stays solid. Here is a quick mono check that takes 30 seconds and saves you from pain later. Put utility on your master. Temporarily set width to 0%. If your drop loses all aggression, your Hoover is two-side only. Fix that by reducing unison voices or amount, or by narrowing the width, or by adding a subtle mid-focused saturation layer, so the center has content. Now let's write MIDI that keeps the Hoover in a support role. A super effective pattern is offbeat stabs. Put the Hoover notes on the end of the beat. If you're on an eighth note grid, you're thinking positions like the offbeats, 1 and, 2 and, 3 and, 4 and. Keep the notes fairly short, like an eighth note to a quarter note. This gives you that forward push without turning the Hoover into a constant wall. Another approach is call and response. Let the sub do the continuous rolling pattern, and only let the Hoover speak in certain moments, like the last eighth note of each bar, or just before the snare. That pre-snare lift is a classic trick. A tiny Hoover stab right before the snare creates urgency. Keep it short and let your sidechain handle the actual snare hit. You can also do minimal two-note movement, alternate A and G for that dark minor 7 feel, or A and E for root and fifth. Sparse is powerful in DNB, because the drums are already busy. Now, arrangement. This is where a lot of people accidentally overcook it. Don't run the Hoover at full strength the whole time. Treat it like a drop enhancer, not the main character. Try this. In the intro, either no Hoover or a very filtered, quiet version. In the build, automate a high pass or the synth filter so it slowly opens downwards. For example, start the Hoover filter higher, like 600 Hz, and then bring it down to around 250 to 350 Hz as you hit the drop. That creates the illusion of the drop getting heavier without you needing 10 more tracks. In the drop, keep the Hoover at support level with sidechain on. After 16 bars, do a variation, maybe widen slightly, add a bit more saturation, or change the phrase. Then in a breakdown, remove the Hoover so the ear resets. In the second drop, you can make it slightly heavier, maybe 1 or 2 dB more saturator drive or a slightly lower filter cutoff, but keep the same rules, high pass, duck, and manage width. Quick coaching note, set your balance at low volume first. Turn your monitors down. Pull the Hoover fader way lower than you think it needs to be. If the groove still feels bigger when it's in, you nailed the support role. If you only notice the Hoover when it's loud, it's acting like a lead. Also, be careful with reverb. Reverb can smear the exact space your sidechain is creating. If you add reverb to the Hoover, high pass the reverb return, often somewhere around 300 to 600 Hz, and consider sidechaining the reverb return lightly from the snare. Otherwise, the dry Hoover ducks, but the reverb wash stays and still masks the snare. Now let's do a quick 15-minute practice loop, so you can lock this in. Step 1. Drums and sub. Get the sub sitting with the drums. Step 2. Bring in the Hoover with the chain. High pass around 180 Hz. Saturator around 4 dB of drive. Level matched. Glue compression doing 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. Sidechain ducking around 4 dB from the drum bus. Utility width around 90%. Now do in a slash B test. Mute the Hoover, then unmute it. Ask yourself two questions. 1. Does the drop lose energy when the Hoover is muted? If yes, it's supporting correctly. 2. Does the mix instantly get clearer when the Hoover is muted? If yes, it's too loud, too wide, or has too much low mid content. Fix that with level first, then EQ and width, then sidechain timing. Make a 16-bar loop, bars 1 through 8. Keep the Hoover more filtered, like cutoff around 600 Hz. Bars 9 through 16. Bring it down into that 250 to 350 Hz zone for the drop weight. Then export it and listen quietly. If the snare loses punch, don't panic. Just increase ducking a bit or fine-tune the release so the Hoover returns in the pocket. Before we wrap, let's hit the common mistakes so you can avoid them. Mistake 1. Leaving low end in the Hoover. That instantly fights your sub and makes the mix feel inflated. High pass it. Mistake 2. Too much stereo in the low mids. Super wide around 200 to 500 Hz can smear and collapse in mono. Control width and consider mid slash side EQ if needed. Mistake 3. No side chain. In DNB, a mid-heavy layer without ducking will mask the snare and kill punch. Mistake 4. Overlayering. If you have sub plus res plus Hoover plus lead bass all going, you're begging for mud. Start with just sub and Hoover. Make that work, then add more only if you truly need it. Mistake 5. Thinking sound design comes first and mixing comes later. For supporting Hoovers, the EQ, ducking, and stereo control are part of the sound. Now, if you want an upgrade once the basic version works, here's a really useful variation. Frequency-dependent ducking. Instead of ducking the entire Hoover, you duck mostly the problem band. This audio version is shortened for playback.